Hi, this is Casey Treat. I'm pastor at Christian Faith, and we are excited to have you with us on our podcast. Thanks for joining in. I'm praying that you're going to hear a word that will inspire you, empower you to connect with Jesus and become more like him. That's what we live for. That's what's happening on today's podcast.
We're talking prophets. We've been in a series on prophets. We're going to close it out today talking about John the Baptizer. And man, Jesus talked about John as the greatest of all. So I figured, man, if Jesus calls him the greatest, we better not miss him. And so let's lean into what John has to say. And man, make sure that you got them revival nights on your calendars. How many of y'all planning on coming next Sunday night with me to revival night? Wasn't enough of your hands. Some of y'all evaluating still if you're coming. And I get it, family time and work and, you know, everything gets busy. But if you can put some time, cut some time out to go, I'm going to put God first. I'm going to pursue God. I'm going to make time on one or two or all of those nights. I got friends coming. I got a guest coming next Sunday to start us off. Next Sunday night, another one of the two of the strongest men on in America right now. Young, passionate prophets, healing. They're going to be phenomenal, and we're just going to start strong. And then the following week, I got someone else coming. It's going to be a powerful 8 days coming. So make sure that you got that on your calendar, and just make some time. Take some initiative to pursue the things of God. And I promise you, you're going to see an impact in your life. Also, I'm not asking for me. I'm going to go home and love my wife whether you come or not. I'm going to love my kids. I'm still a dad and a husband, and I'm going to do my thing. But it's for you. Like, I want your life better. If you miss these three nights, you'll miss what God has for you. I'll be here. I'll get mine. God's going to speak to me, but I'm just wanting you to be a part of it. I'm wanting you to get what God has for you. I'm wanting to help you and you encounter God and hear his voice and just see what he can do when you put that much energy and focus into pursuing him in that way. I think it's going to be a powerful few nights. And so, man, I really encourage you to make the time and make the sacrifice and do what it takes to be here. And so, hey, let's talk about John for a few minutes here. John is in between the old and the new because he's in the Gospels, but he doesn't make it over to the new covenant totally. So he's this in-between season. And he's prophesied multiple times in the Old Testament by many prophets of a man that would come before the Messiah to make way for the Savior. And many of you know the story of John. The angel shows up in the temple to his dad. His dad's a priest working in the temple. They didn't have any children. He was older. Him and his wife didn't have any kids. And the angel says, you're going to have a son. You're going to name him John. And he questions. He's like, I don't think that happened. We're old. I'm not sure. And he goes, well, because you doubted, no talking for you. And so his dad doesn't speak for the next 9 months. And then sure enough, John shows up. They name him John. His mouth is opened after they name him. You should read the story. It's wild. And then it says that John lived in the wilderness, ate bugs, wore camel hair clothes. I mean, just a weird, wild dude. And then we pick up John in Matthew chapter 3, talks a little bit about his early ministry. And really the core message of his ministry is right here. It says, John the Baptist came preaching, repent. And that word repent in the Greek is metanoia, which we're going to come back to. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's right here. The kingdom of heaven has come. The kingdom of heaven is here. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah when he said, the voice of the one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Then all the region about the Jordan were going out to him, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit in keeping with repentance by the kingdom, or bear fruit of metanoia in the kingdom. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's here. The kingdom of heaven has come. That's where we're going to anchor in today for the majority of it. this idea of what is John's message, what is he teaching, and making sure that we truly understand what he's trying to tell us. So, because if you're a degree off today and you follow that path, you'll end up pretty far off down the road. So there's something in here that it got a little under my skin, and I want to bring some correction because I think, unfortunately, the translation of this one word, repent, might be the worst English translated word in the whole New Testament. Now, I get it. What I don't want to do is plant seeds of doubt when you're reading your Bible. The rest of it, perfect. But this word bothers me, and it's because it misses the mark on the message that John's trying to communicate. Let me expand on this for the rest of our time so that you don't think I'm a heretic. So this word metanoia, it's the Greek word translated right there. So if you're reading your New Testament in the Greek language, which is what it was originally written in, so when John says metanoia, that word metanoia means to change your mind. That's the core meaning of that word metanoia, to change your mind or to rethink or to think again. Think again, for the kingdom of heaven has come. Change your mind, for the kingdom of heaven has come. Or you can change, for the kingdom of heaven has come. So let's compare these two for a second. You have metanoia, which means change your mind. And then in our English translation, we read the word repent or repentance, which is repentance, to do again penance. So penance is I feel bad, I feel sorry, I feel like I'm no good, I messed up. Penance comes with a lot of emotional weight and then an attempt to work off or to work through the mistake you made. You following me so far? If you're Catholic, you're gonna struggle with this, but I'm gonna get you through it, promise. Or if you're just religious and like it all to be about you, we're gonna get through that as well. Penance is I feel bad, I feel sorry, I feel ashamed, I messed up, I did it again, I can't believe I shouted at my kids, I can't believe I looked at the porn again, I can't believe I took the drug again, I can't believe I'm ashamed of myself. Why did I do that? Why do I keep doing that? I have to now pay penance to make up for my wrong. So to repent, like to rewrite, to rebuild, to redo, it's just over and over. It's I'm repenancing. I feel bad, I feel guilty, I feel ashamed, and I have to do a deed to make up for what I did wrong. Out of my guilt, I try to act right. Out of my guilt, I keep making up. And that's not what John is telling us. That verse does not say, because I am so guilty and ashamed, I'm gonna try to do enough for the kingdom to come. You're starting to get it. It's not your works from your shame that brings about the kingdom of God. It's I can change, I can metanoia, I can change my mind. Why? Because the kingdom has come. See, you can't change your mind if everything stays the same. You can't change your mind if no new information has been added. Why would you change for no reason? You following me? If the question is what is 2 + 2 equal, it's 4. And the answer will always be 4 until I change the equation. So same with our minds. The way you think today will stay the way you think tomorrow until something new is added that gives you the ability and capacity to change the way you think. And so John is saying, metanoia, change the way you think. Why or how? Because the kingdom has come. Should I have saved this for foundations? Are y'all getting this? I'm gonna save it for my foundations class. I just stopped teaching. Like, wait, what? Just keep going. Like, nope, foundations, sign up. Never mind. So this, and the early church fathers hated this. You start looking through all of Hilary and Athanasius, and all these early church fathers were like, this is not what John came preaching. He did not say penance for the kingdom. He said change because of the kingdom. Catch me. There's nuance here, but if you miss the nuance, you'll live your life the wrong way. Because you'll live under a burden and you'll live submitted to religion, but you'll never connect to the relationship that you were intended to have. Too many of us are living under the burden of penance, not connected to the source that can allow us to think differently, which in turn allows us to live differently, which then will produce different fruit and ultimately a different purpose. See, because your guilt doesn't carry enough power to bring about change. See, some of us have some guilt and we feel bad. I can't believe I shouted at the kids again. I can't believe I looked at that website again. I can't believe I gossiped again. I can't believe I did that again. I can't believe I'll never do that again. I shouldn't have done that. And that lasts for how long? A day, a week, maybe a month if you got some good willpower. But it never brings about real lasting change. Why? Because you haven't changed. You've just tried to stop. Don't. And then you mess up and you feel bad again. And you mess up and you feel guilty again. And now that in my guilt, I'll pay penance. I'll make up for it. Adding guilt and condemnation to your mistake won't change the mistake. That's not the way Jesus does things. He doesn't say, I bet you'll change if you feel pathetic. I bet if you feel really bad, you'll change. No. Most of us in here that have stuff that we're hiding, that we're struggling with, that you're trying to overcome, hate it. But that hasn't stopped you from doing it still. You're still walking in frustration. You're still living in fear. You're still angry at your spouse. You're still struggling with that addiction. You're still going back to that issue. Why? Because penance doesn't carry the power you need to bring the change you desire. And you're just stuck in religion. I gotta feel bad. And what does this ultimately do? Repentance, or the idea of penance, keeps you at the center and religion in this power. Let that sink in for a second. Religion and penance, or repentance, the goal of it is to keep you in the center and religion in authority. The power is, why? So when they wrote this, and there's so many little breadcrumbs through the New Testament of this controlling church that says, I need to add condemnation to keep authority and power over people. So you do penance, and I'll tell you how many penance you need to do for you to be right. That's not Jesus. And unfortunately, it's keeping you at the center of the whole thing. It's not about me, it's about Jesus. So when I remove myself from the center of my life, and when I put Jesus in the center of my life, not because I'm so bad and I'm so worthless and I can't believe it. No. It's not about me. Remember, so it's not what I did or what I can't do and what I've never. Nope. I remove myself and then I have the ability to change. Why? Because the kingdom is here. There's new information. And when I accept that new information, I could change my mind. And so what you're saying, well, what's the new information? Well, the kingdom has come. What does that mean? It means I can see God new now. There's a different way to perceive God. In the old covenant, he wasn't personal. He wasn't connected. He wanted to be, but there was a divide between us and him. But now that Jesus has come, Jesus says he is the image of an invisible God. What does that mean? It means I can now see God because I can see Jesus. I know Jesus, I know the Father. It says he lives in me, he's with me. And now I get to reshape my mind. I used to be a person consumed by fear, but now perfect love drives out fear. There's no room in love for fear. I used to be a person that didn't have peace, but now I serve a prince of peace. I used to struggle with sickness, but now by his stripes I am healed. I used to struggle with providing for myself, but now I have a new provider. You see, because the kingdom showed up, I can change my mind from what I used to think, and now I can think a new way. And when you think a new way, you live a different way. And when you live a different way, you produce different fruit. See, religion tries to get the fruit before the change. See, penance says you better look like you're better. Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. And you're just like, what you're doing is you're trying to put off this image of change as opposed to internal change that'll lead to brand new lifestyle. See, they try to put the cart before the horse. Like, you better give some penance to look to make sure that we know that you're changed, that you're sorry. They look. No, it's backwards. The fruit doesn't come first. The change does. But once you're truly changed, you'll live different. And when you see different and live different, you'll produce different. See, there's power to bring change in the kingdom. There isn't power in your sorrow to bring change. You hearing me today, church? So you can feel as guilty as you want. Stay there. You can feel as embarrassed as you want. You'll stay there. You can feel as guilty as you want. You can feel how you want to feel, but your feelings aren't powerful enough to lead to lasting. They might change you for a week. Might change you for a month. It might change you for 3 months, but inside, there's still an issue. There's still an anger. There's still a fear. There's still lust. That's why Jesus says, my commandment is to love the way I loved. My new commandment is not even to have an affair, but not to have lust in your heart. My command is not to murder, but not to have murder in your heart. You see, when the kingdom comes, I can change the way I think internally, which changes my perspective on life. No longer am I saying, don't. I actually now live from this, I wanna love. I don't wanna hurt you. I don't wanna curse you. Because I've changed. And so the fruit of my life is different. You see, Jesus is much more interested in the deepest part of you, not the fruit of you. Religion wants your actions. Jesus wants your heart. And if he can have your heart, he knows he'll get the fruit. Over and over and over, he says, man, these Pharisees clean the outside of the bowl, but the inside is corrupt. I want you to clean the inside, and the outside will passively get cleaned. Repent means metanoia, which truly isn't a sorrow or a burden. It's not what we think when we say repent. It's change your mind. It's not just change your mind. It has this great context of consistent change. I love that part of it. Metanoia is consistent change. What does that mean? It means today, I change my mind because of the kingdom to see Jesus the best I can today. And then tomorrow, I'm gonna change my mind because I got a new glimpse. And then the next day, I change again. It's not I changed one time, it's every day. If I get more of Jesus, I wanna look more like Jesus. And I get more of Jesus, and I wanna look more like Jesus. And I'm in this consistent change process because I'm taking on as much information, as much of the kingdom as I can to look as much like a kingdom person. I'm in this consistent metanoia process of, man, yesterday I didn't know I could get healed, but now I read all these Bible verses and I realize that God is my healer. So I'm changing the way I perceive and look at sickness. Now I'm a healthy person and sickness has no home in my body. That is, I'm changing the way I think according to his will in my life so I can look more like Jesus today. And I grew up in a broken home, and my parents were okay with divorce and there, but I've read in the scripture, I'm in covenant. He put his blessing on my life. I'm walking with my wife. We are joined together. I'm changing the way I think from where I was raised to the way God has called me to. I'm consistently changing my mind to look more like a kingdom person. It's not just change because you better, it's change because I can. I can look more like Jesus today. I could look more like Jesus today. And then you just keep finding more places to change because like, wow, I used to be a real bitter person, but now I've given that to Jesus and I love people and I release people and I forgive people and I'm changing the way I think so that I can act more like Jesus today. It's everyday consistent process of change. Can you do a self-evaluation of your life? If you were to look at a perfect citizen of heaven, what does that person look like? What do they act like? What do they talk like? And what areas in your life are far from that person? Those are the areas that you need metanoia. That's the area. So does the perfect kingdom person, which AKA is Jesus. Jesus, right? And that's who we're being transformed into, right? The image of his son. So our goal in life is to look more like Jesus today than we did yesterday. Now, we'll never fully get there, but that's the goal. Every day looking more like Jesus and then looking more like Jesus and then looking more like Jesus. So if Jesus is your goal, if that kingdom man or that kingdom woman is the goal of your life, where in your life do you need the most change today? Is it how you talk to yourself? Would Jesus talk to himself the way you talk to yourself? Some of y'all hard on yourself. Some of y'all say stuff to yourself that you wouldn't want to say to your worst enemies. Are you sick today? Would Jesus be sick? Are you broke? Are you always going from one relationship to the next? Would Jesus boy hop? Relationship hop, insecurities, fear, anger. What is it, just doing a self-evaluation, what is it that I struggle with? So we all struggle with different things. I struggle with insecurity. I struggle with fear. I struggle with failure. I struggle with not succeeding. Okay, but that's not something that Jesus struggles with. So I need to take on the mind of Christ. I need to say the kingdom has come, so I get to take on kingdom ideas and kingdom principles into my mind to shift my mind to see them according to how he sees them so that I could change the way I think, so I could change the way I live. Ultimately, I'll have the fruit in my life of a kingdom person. Not because I felt so sorry about myself, but because I took on the mind of Christ, I changed my mind, and thus I changed my entire life. I moved from anger into peace. I moved from insecurity into confidence. I moved from sickness into health. I moved from lack into abundance. Why? Because those are all kingdom things that I have to shift the way I think so I could change the way I live. John says, he shows up, metanoia, for the kingdom is here. He's saying you can change. Now here's it. Now catch me. You don't have to. You don't have to change. God loves you. He says, for God so loved the world. He already loves you. It says he loves you first. We can love because he first loved us. He loves you right there. So if you never change a thing in your life, he's still gonna love you. But you can change if you want. The problem is many of us have been trying to change using the wrong fuel. You've been trying to use feelings, penance, guilt, sorrow, and that doesn't carry the power required to bring about change. You gotta accept his kingdom mind. Metanoia, change your mind, for the kingdom is here. Then he goes on to say, bearing fruits of repentance. Again, that repentance is the same word metanoia later in that verse. Bearing fruit of metanoia. I love that image because I can change, and because of the kingdom's mindset in my life, I will bear fruit from the change. When I change the way I think, I change the way I live. When I change the way I think, I change the way I see. When I change the way I think, I change the way I respond. Jesus is saying, I need to change the way you think. I need you to change your mind. I need you to think again. One theologian says metanoia is returning to your senses. How good is that? I need you to return. Why? Because you have accepted the lies of the world. You've accepted lies from your parents. You've accepted lies from politics that say this is what success looks like, and this is what feeling good looks like, and this is what a good marriage looks like. And you get yours, and you earn yours, and if they're not in it for you, then they don't love you. And if they don't, all of these things that we've learned from the world are lies. But when we return to our senses and act more like sons and daughters of God than citizens of this earth, then you start living the life that God calls you to live. Go with me to 2 Corinthians 7:10. I see some of y'all are stressing about this. Catch this. For the sorrow that is according to the will of God produces a repentance or metanoia without regret, leading to salvation. But the sorrow of this world produces death. Now catch this. There can be sorrow, there can be guilt, there can be a feeling of condemnation that can lead to metanoia, but that feeling itself isn't metanoia. See, they reversed it, they missed it. They said, in essence, they're saying repentance leads to repentance, and that's not true. Repentance leads to metanoia. So repentance isn't the change agent, it's metanoia. But you can feel like, man, dang it, why did I look at this website again? Why did I get angry again? Why did I do? And that can lead to change, but that won't produce the change. Are you hearing me today, church? Your sorrow, if it gets you to metanoia, then has gotten you to the place that you need to be to bring about change. But if your sorrow only gets you to penance, you'll find your way back. Sorrow that leads to metanoia leads to salvation, but the sorrows of this world lead to death. If all you're doing is in your sorrows repenting, it's leading to death. But if you get to metanoia, I can change. Why can I change? Because the kingdom has come. I enter new information into my mind, so I assess life differently because of this new information. Let me break it down. If you today found out that some great, great, great uncle of yours had no other children and you were the closest heir and he was a billionaire and you got it all, how would you act? Right? Like, I wouldn't make it a big deal, but you'd know. You'd be like, man, how's the pastor driving around in a Lamborghini? Like, what are we paying this guy around here? Like, I wouldn't say anything, but you'd know. We'd bring the helicopter back. That's a bad joke. If you know, you know. How would you act with that? Follow me for a second. You just got new information that you're an heir to $1 billion. How would you act? See, new information entered into your little brain changes the way you act. You catching me? Okay, the kingdom of God just got put into your life. Have you applied that knowledge to your life yet? Are you acting different based off of all of the access that you have? Because you got a kingdom of God, and in his kingdom is peace, joy, righteousness, healing, abundance, prosperity, living water can flow. See, in his kingdom, you have access to all this. You need to enter that into your brain and start acting according. But many of us haven't accepted that knowledge, so we haven't changed our mind. So the struggle is we came to Jesus, but we didn't metanoia, so we're looking at Jesus, but still acting like the world. We're looking at Jesus, but we're still living under the curse of our old family, of our old habits, of our old addictions. We've got to change the way we think so that we can look and act and speak more like Jesus. Oh my goodness, man, get on the stage as fast as you can. I got to end. That snuck up on me. John 3:25, let me give you one or two more thoughts on John as we close. When you read the word repentance, put in your mind, think different. Metanoia, to think different. Change the way you think. When you, every time you hear the word repent, think metanoia and think different. Don't think penance, think thinking. John goes on in John 3:25, his disciples come to him and say, John, that guy that you baptized, Jesus, yeah, he's baptizing more people than us down the river. I love that even back in the day, there was like church competition, like who's bigger than who? Who has more people? Which is just so stupid. So John gives this banger of a line. At the very end of verse 30, he goes, he must increase, but I must decrease. Church, that is the answer to every question. He must increase, I must decrease. And I'm not just talking about like ethereal, like, oh, that's a good line. He must, I mean in everything. Today, when you're in your marriage, men, say in your heart, I need to decrease so that Jesus could increase. When you're parenting, I need to decrease and I need him to increase. Tomorrow, when you go to work, I need to decrease so that Jesus can increase. Less of me, more of you. Less of my pride, more of your humility. Less of my anger, more of your peace. Less of my hurry, more of your rest. Less of my ideas, more of your ideas. Less of my pride, less of my fear. Less of my hurry, more of you, Jesus. Less of me, more of you. Less of me. You want the secret sauce to a great marriage? Less of you. That's it. We just need less of you in that thing. But we need more of Jesus in it. Next time you start an argument, hold up. If I could just find a way to get less of me and more of Jesus, I bet this argument ends different than it's ended the last 30 years. If you're frustrated with one of your children, if I could get less of me in this moment, and if I could parent through the eyes and the lens of Jesus, I bet this gets better. Less of me, Jesus, and more of you. And I'm not just talking about in the emotional realm either. I'm talking about at work. Tomorrow, when you go to work, some of you doctors, less of me and more of Jesus. You're a teacher, principal, an architect, an engineer, less of me. You're like, but what are you talking about? I'm telling you to have the mind of Christ and to push yourself down and to raise Jesus up. Because if you have the mind of Christ, I'm pretty sure that God is better at math than you. And so as an engineer, I bet you just changed the whole equation. Now you have the man who made math engineering on your behalf. You doctors, yeah, when you cut into that body this week, less of you and more of Jesus. I have the mind of Christ. Confess over, I have the mind of Christ. And God made this body, and he died for this body, and he loves this body. So not only am I the smartest doctor at the hospital, I got the best bed matter because I see this person, I love them, I respect them, I'll honor them, I'll serve them. All of a sudden, I'm excellent and I'm kind. You teachers in here, we need you, but we need less of you and we need more of Jesus. And we need you to show up tomorrow to that classroom with the mind of Christ working in you so that when you love those kids, you're like, wait, Jesus gave me his mind, but he also created these kids. So he knows how to love them and he knows how to serve them and he knows how to encourage them and he knows how to challenge them and he knows how to speak life to them. I want to show up with the mind of Christ. See, whatever you do, this isn't just Jesus for a stage. This is Jesus for real life. You need the mind of Christ when you drive to work. Come on, somebody. That's not your lane. It's our lane. So when someone cuts you off, less of me, more of Jesus. And when that coffee order takes a little longer than you want, less of me and more of Jesus. And when you finally start walking in that revelation, you look at that barista, not as someone in your way, but someone to love. Not as an ends to a means. I just need you to serve me. I just need you to make the coffee. I'm actually in your day and Jesus is in me. So Jesus is now in your day. Because of me, you can see hope. Because of me, you can see life. Because of me, you can be loved. Because of me, you can be heard. I'm about to show you how much Jesus loves you. Why? Because I got the mind of Christ. Because it's less of me and it's more of Jesus. And Jesus can use me at work. And he can use me when I teach. And he can use me when I love my wife. He could use me in a surgery room. He could use me when I sell a house. When I have the mind of Christ, Jesus gets access to my whole life, not just the seats in a church. John throws this banger, less of me, more of Jesus. See, when you start to take this on, church, that because of the kingdom, I can change. It's not just a shallow change. It's so deep that Jesus starts living on the inside of me in my skin, and the barista encounters Jesus, and my patients encounter Jesus, and the person buying a home encounters Jesus, and the kids in my class encounter Jesus. Why? Because I've taken on the mind of Christ, and it's less of me and it's more of him. And so Jesus is teaching those kids, and Jesus is at the bed next to that person who just got a bad report, and Jesus is working through me as I design that building, and Jesus is in me as I'm taking those photos. Why? Because Jesus wants access to you. He wants all of you. The question is, are you willing to shift your mind to realize just how much he loves you, and just how much he's consumed with you, and just how much he wants you? Shift. Change. See him different.
Thank you so much for joining with us today. I'm praying that you heard something that will impact your life. If you'd like more information, connect with us at the Christian Faith Church app or go to the website at christianfaith.us.